Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
They made a statue of us and put it on a mountaintop. Now tourists come and stare at us. Blow bubbles with their gum. Take photographs of fun. Have fun.
This is Soundcheck at 93.9 WNYC. We're live online as well at WNYC.org. I'm John Schaefer. When singer-songwriter Regina Spektor opens her mouth, LA Weekly says, the universe comes out. The Russian-born singer-songwriter got her musical start playing classical piano in Moscow, but after she arrived in the Bronx, she took her own music out on the road with the Strokes. Her most recent release is called Soviet Kitsch, and Regina Spektor has joined us in the studio today. Regina, welcome back to Soundcheck.
Thank you very much.
It's kind of an old-fashioned immigrant story, you know, coming to the States as a young person. You were, what, 9 years old at the time?
Nine and a half.
and going on to become, a singer. I mean, I think Al Jolson, Irving Berlin, you know, it's like a great American immigrant tale. How did that happen? I mean, you were sort of a piano student at the time that you came here?
Yeah.
And how serious were you about it?
Well, I was so serious about it that it really was the only reason why my parents even considered possibly not immigrating, because I had this amazing teacher in Moscow and I wanted to be a classical pianist when I grew up. And but there were just too many reasons to not stay.
Mm.
So,
Political reasons,
religious and political mainly.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that fun to have Jew stamped in your passport under number 5 and then know that for the rest of your life, you know, every time you try to go to school or work or anywhere, that's, you know, it's a reason for someone to.
Okay, so it's you were Jew first,
yeah, it's
Soviet or Russian second.
Yeah, it was definitely a glass ceiling society for Jews.
Yeah. So what, I mean, how did, when you did come here, look, you've ended up as a singer and a songwriter, as a pop singer as opposed to a classical pianist. How soon after coming here did you find yourself kind of veering off track like that?
Not soon at all. I was extraordinarily lucky because when we came to the Bronx, I met my piano teacher, Sonia Vargas, who's a New York pianist and professor, was a professor, and I studied with her, and she really, so I got this amazing classical music education. And then when I was about 15, it hit me that I didn't have that, you know, sit down at the piano for 9 hours a day thing, and I really wanted to, but I couldn't. I came face to face with that, and I didn't really know what to do. I you know, my whole life I was like, when someone said, "Oh, what are you going to be when you grow up?" I'd be like, "A musician." And then it was the first time where I'd be like, "I don't know."
Yeah, but maybe not the type of musician I've thought all along.
Yeah, this came so out of left field. I mean,
so as a teenager, now I had in one of your press releases, you mentioned that you started writing your own songs on a trip to Israel, is that right?
Yeah, I was sort of scribbling things before, and it never even entered my mind to connect the fact that I could play piano to little songs that I would sing a cappella while walking around and making them up. But it really kind of came to my attention when I was in Israel. I went on this trip, which I got on a scholarship, which was amazing. It was an arts trip, and we were hiking through the Negev Desert, and I'm not much of a hiker. I'm a city girl, so it was really hard. And to help myself get through it, I would, you know, sing little songs and make them up, and kids would kind of hike closer and closer to me, and then, you know, then in the evenings, they'd be like, "Oh, could you sing that one again?" So I started remembering songs and people would say things like, oh, you should definitely, you know, do this. And I'd be like, you're joking.
So you were kind of just making it up as you went along, and then suddenly people were asking for you to repeat the song.
Yeah.
So improvisation had to become some kind of composition at some point.
Yeah. And it was really interesting, because then when I got back home from Israel, you know, all these kids started sending me tapes, you know, in the mail, and they sent me like a Joni Mitchell tape, you know, or an Ani DeFranco tape. And so then it was sort of like, wow, people are allowed to do this. Like, they're allowed to write songs and they could develop this. This is legit, you know. Mm-hmm. And so then I started trying to write songs. They were very bad. Very bad.
Well, when you first began writing, was it in English or Russian?
Oh, yeah,
or?
It was always in English.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, one of the songs that I'm going to play for you today is really one of two songs that I have some Russian in. Mm-hmm. And it really took me, I think, years to even look that way, because it just felt so strange to sing in Russian.
Huh. Well, now, you've mentioned that, you know, it seems like your family, your heritage, as you know, coming from a Jewish family, was a big thing in Russia, a big part of the decision to move here to the States. Now tonight, you're taking part in this festival of Jewish music and heritage. When you're writing your own songs, even though you began doing this in Israel, how keenly do you feel any kind of, you know, Jewish music heritage thing in the background?
Well, I definitely feel like it's sort of like it informs everything I do. I might not be thinking about it in the forefront, but just like being a woman informs everything I do. So even when I write songs from a perspective of a man, you know, I'm sure that you, because I love writing songs much more from perspectives of other people, and but it's definitely in there, you know. It's like certain melodies, certain feelings are just kind of in there through heritage, you know. It's kind of, I guess that's what makes it heritage, is like it's inherited. You don't even really have to think about it. It's just kind of there.
Well, tonight you'll be sharing a stage with the Klezmatics and Tova Feldshuh and Mark Rebo and a whole bunch of other great musicians. And I understand you'll be doing some original stuff, but also Leonard Cohen?
No, it's actually, it's a night of all cover songs.
All covers, okay.
And I'm extraordinarily nervous because I've never done covers before. And I feel really inadequate because I came from, well, if we think about it like that, I came from doing covers. I was covering classical music.
Right,
and there was
right.
always sheet music, and it was structured, and then I'd write my own stuff, and my brain is equipped to do that. But to pick a song by listening to it and try and convey it with dignity and with everything it deserves, I'm nervous.
All right, well, let's give you a chance to work out some of those butterflies now. You want to do one of the Leonard Cohen songs?
Yeah, definitely.
All right, we're speaking with Regina Spektor, the singer, songwriter, and pianist. And she's going to play Leonard Cohen's Chelsea Hotel for us here live in the studio, and then performing tonight as part of the Jewish Music and Heritage Festival at the 92nd Street Y. She's also performing a solo show on Thursday evening, September 15th. It's sort of a late evening program at Irving Plaza. Details are on our website at WNYC.org. Regina Spektor is live in our WNYC studio.
I remember you well in the Chelsea Hotel. You were talking so brave and so sweet, giving me head on an unmade bed while the limousines wait in the street. And those were the reasons, and that was New York. We were running for the money and the flesh, and that was called love for the workers in song, probably still is for those of them left. But you got away, didn't you, baby? you just turn your back on the crowd. You gotta win, everyone's heard you say, I need you, I don't need you, I need you, I don't need you. And all of that jiving around, I remember you well in a Chelsea hotel. You were famous, your heart was a legend. You told me again you preferred handsome men, but for me, you would make an exception. And clenching your fists for the ones like us who are afraid by the figures of beauty, you fixed yourself. You said, well, never mind, we are ugly, but we have the music. And then you got away, didn't you, baby? You just turned your back on the crowd. You got away, never once heard you say, I need you, I don't need you, I need you, I don't need you. And all of that driving around. Now, I don't mean to suggest that I loved you the best. I can't keep track of each fallen robin. Oh, I remember you well in a Chelsea hotel. But that's all. I don't even think of you that often.
Music by Leonard Cohen, his song Chelsea Hotel, sung live in our studio by Regina Spektor, who will be performing some Leonard Cohen tonight as part of the Jewish Music and Heritage Festival at the 92nd Street Y. And what else do you think you'll be doing besides Leonard Cohen's? How many of his songs will you be doing?
As of right now, I'm going to do two of his songs and one Madonna song.
What? Madonna? On a Jewish Music and Heritage Festival?
Well,
I know she's into the Kabbalah these days.
Well,
but
I've actually been getting a lot more attention for that than I'd intended to.
Uh-huh.
I guess that I just, you know, at the time I was listening to her CD American Life a bunch at the time of getting invited. And then, you know, I was like, wow. Well, she's Jewish now, you know, because she changed her name to Esther. And I thought, you know, it's a good way to welcome her into the tribe.
Okay. All right. Regina Spektor is my guest, and we'll hear some more live performance from her in just a moment. Here's a little track from the CD, though. This is called Poor Little Rich Boy. And Regina, here we get to hear you playing the piano, finger on the keyboard, and Wrapping the side with a drumstick. This is from Regina Spektor's record called Soviet Kitsch.
But they want to kiss and they got homes of their own. Boy, little rich boy, all the couples have gone, have gone, have gone. And you don't love your girlfriend. You don't love your girlfriend. And you think that you should, but you think that she's fat, but she's some, she don't love her anyway. And you don't love your mother, and you know that you should, and you wish that you would, but you don't anyway.
The food that I'm eating is suddenly tasteless. I know I'm alone. I know what it tastes like. So break me to small parts. Let go in small doses. But spare some for spare parts. There might be some good ones. Like you might make a dollar.
This is music from Regina Spektor. Ode to Divorce comes from her album Soviet Kitsch. Regina Spektor is my guest. I'm John Schaefer. You're listening to Soundcheck at 93.9 WNYC and WNYC.org. Regina, you mentioned before that, you know, you like to sometimes write from other perspectives. This ode to divorce is from a man's point of view.
I think so. Or maybe not. It's definitely from a divorced person's point of view.
Well,
but, yeah, sorry.
Well, now, for someone who has just hit her mid-20s, to be writing a song like this, I mean, there's sort of a world weariness that we don't expect to hear from someone so young.
Oh, thanks.
Well, I mean, you know, it sort of goes back to what you were saying before, that a lot of singer-songwriters write in a very kind of personal, almost confessional mode, and you seem to go at it from the opposite route.
Yeah, I just think that sometimes I don't think people's lives are that interesting. And I don't want to, I don't know, there's just, it's sort of, I don't know, in my mind it was always, you know, the job of the, you know, quote unquote artist or whatever, to, you know, to give voice to the people that aren't, and to represent their generation, their world. And so I think that's really what I would want to try and do. You know?
Right. So, I mean, for some people, they feel they're giving voice to their generation through their own experience. For you, it seemed like that it was better to go at it, you know, from a different point of view.
Yeah, I sort of really like journalism and fantasy and playwrights, and I'm coming more from books and movies and plays and
well,
stuff.
Well, now, we talked a little bit about this the last time you were here. Big literary kind of influence in your work, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Do you view these as almost like short stories?
Mm-hmm, exactly, actually.
Have you written short stories?
No, I've written short songs. I've tried, you know. It's very difficult for me to have. I have such respect for writers, novelists especially, mm-hmm. and short story writers that have that ability to have the concentration and to somehow collect something and spend that kind of a time and have a thread. I don't know. I don't have that span of self-discipline yet. Maybe one day, you know.
All right. So they're just like little epigrammatic tales that you tell, and people like them. I mean, you got your big break touring, opening for the Strokes.
Yeah.
What kind of reaction did you get, and what did you learn from that experience?
Oh, I mean, well, it was my first ever tour, so it was.
When was that?
2 years ago, I think.
Okay.
When Room on Fire, their record mm-hmm. came out. Oh, sorry, I was drinking my water. And this is the radio, and you could hear me sipping through the straw. Sorry, people. It was so.
That's going to be a song on the next record, isn't it?
Drinking through a straw on the radio.
On the radio.
I learned. First of all, I got to see the country for the first time. I hadn't been out of the little confines of nearby area before. I mean, I went to the West Coast for the first time. I went to Texas for the first time. It was just, I learned that people can heckle you and they could also love you. And you're always there playing for the people that love you and trying to, you know, do your job. I learned that, you know, it's really hard to tour, really hard for musicians. It's not like a party. Right. That's what I thought. I thought everyone's going on these parties, and I want to go too. And I still really want to go. And it was amazing. It was one of the most amazing experiences. But it also taught me that it's really hard. And there's a reason why people write all those on the road songs.
Yeah. Well, now, this week in New York, we're overrun with artists for the CMJ,
yeah.
The annual CMJ convention here in New York. Do you have big ambitions professionally of what you want to do with a career as a singer or a songwriter?
I don't know. I've never really thought like that. Then I'm you know, I wake up and I think, my God, this Thursday I'm playing Irving Plaza. What? Who made the mistake? You know, who's going to get the memo? Like, who let her do this? So it's kind of just been a lot of steady work and sort of the ambition being like, my God, I need to write a new song and it needs to be good and I can't be going backwards. And how do I do something new and how do I not let the people down, kind of thing. So it's like a lot of self-torture. Yeah. But it's never like, oh, how do I get in the, you know,
how do I get into that Rock and Roll Hall of Fame thing there? How am I going to do that? So Irving Plaza is actually, I mean, there'll be a, now people are opening for you. And you're actually going on sort of later in the evening on Thursday.
Yeah. I mean, doors open at 8, but I think the first performer's going to be on at 9, and then Devotchka, this band, are going to be on at like 9:30, and then I'm going to be on at like 10:50, maybe a little bit earlier.
Okay.
And it should be a good night of music, I hope. I'm nervous. I'd be lying if I wasn't, but definitely going to play my heart out, so.
All right, that'll be Thursday night at Irving Plaza. Regina Spektor is my guest. Now, you have been working on a new record.
Yes.
Is this next song something that might appear on it?
I think so, yeah, if it comes together. I've been working so much that now I feel sort of strange, like, in real life, like this show or doing shows, because it's sort of like swimming in the ocean for a really long time, then coming on shore and just feels so weird to have the gravity and the, but I think this song is going to be on it.
All right, it's called Après Moi. Is this the one you were alluding to before with a bit of Russian in it?
Yeah, it has Russian from this great Russian poet, Boris Pasternak, and then it has a tiny little sentence of French.
Okay.
Because if I do more than one sentence, I butcher it.
All right, so it's Pasternak meets Spektor on this song. Regina Spektor, the song is called Après Moi, and she's taking up her position once again at our piano for another live performance. And she's performing tonight at the 92nd Street Y as part of the Jewish Music and Heritage Festival. Details on our website at WNYC.org, and then, as previously mentioned, Thursday night, the 15th, at Irving Plaza. Here's Regina Spektor live on Soundcheck.
Be afraid of the cold. inherit your blood. Après moi le déluge. After me, flood, fevral. Достать чернила плакать. Писать о феврале. На взрыв, пока грохочущая слякоть. Весной у черною горит февраль. Достать чернила плакать. Писать о феврале. На взрыв, пока грохочущая слякоть. Весной у черною
That is Regina Spektor, once again live at our piano in our WNYC studio. And if the words short and epic are not oxymoronic when put together, well, that was a short, epic song from Regina Spektor called Après Moi, which will hopefully be on her next record. The last one is called Soviet Kitsch. Regina Spektor, thanks so much for joining us once again in the studio. Great to hear from you again.
Thank you so much, John.
You're listening to Soundcheck.
Got no umbrella. He starts running beneath the awnings, trying to save his suit. Trying to save his suit. Trying to dry and to dry and to dry, but no good. When he gets to the crowded subway platform, he takes off both of his shoes. He steps right into somebody's fat looking and everything.